I'm going to preach from what I would call an obscure passage. I've never heard a sermon on it, but I'm going to preach from it. And I believe it's an important passage, even though I've never heard a sermon on it. But I don't see any first-time visitors or anything, but even though it's not a salvation message, you can be saved. And God sent His Son into this world, and His only purpose was to die for our sins upon the cross, and so we could live forever in heaven. Same book here that we have, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, a little further over, says that about Jesus Christ, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And so you can be saved because God sent His Son into the world. You don't have to know the whole Bible in order to be saved, but you have to know that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. You cannot save yourself. And God, God's Son is the only Savior that there is available. All roads, all religious roads do not lead to God. There is only one way of salvation, and that's through God's Son. And some people can't accept that. They can't believe that there's 7 billion people on the earth, and most of them do not believe in Jesus Christ. And so therefore they're not going to heaven, but some people cannot accept that. But that's the way it is. God is a discriminating God. God picks and chooses. Did you know that He only picked one planet out of all the planets up in the sky, up in the heavens? He picked one planet to accomplish His will on, and that's planet Earth. Now, they're looking around for life on other planets, but they don't find any because there's none up there. They will not sustain life like we know it on the earth. If evolution were true, I would have thought that some kind of life would have sprang up out there that doesn't have to have oxygen and what we have down here. Wouldn't you think so? I mean, aren't those planets, aren't they old enough for life to have sprang up out there somewhere? But no. No, life's not going to spring up because life doesn't spring up from nothing. God is a discriminating God. God only chose one group of people to bring forth His will upon the earth, and that was the Jewish people. Now, people can't stand that either, but God discriminates. Everybody discriminates. When you go to the grocery store, you don't just go down the aisle and grab everything and throw it into your basket. Now you pick and choose what you want in your house, don't you? Everybody does that, but discrimination is a bad word today. In the world, you see, not among us. God only chose one tribe out of the nation of Israel to bring forth His Son. That's the tribe of Judah. One family out of that tribe. That's the family of David. One little girl to bring forth his son into the world, that was Mary. And one Savior that was born in Bethlehem of Judea, who is the Savior of the entire world. God picks and chooses. He's a discriminating God. But where God does not discriminate is for people to be saved. Anybody can be saved. For He said, "Whosoever will may come." For God sent His Son into the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? 1 Peter chapter number 2 says this, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." We read that last week and we talked about that. "As newborn babes." He didn't say we were newborn babes, but as newborn babes, we should act like that, to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." That's the verse that I'm going to preach to you from this morning, verse number 4. And I'm going to take the phrase there, "disallowed indeed of men." That's our text this morning. Disallowed indeed of men. but chosen of God and precious. And verse number 5, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner. You'll notice the same word there. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner. To be disallowed means it's rejected. It's not accepted. God accepted it. God chose it. But people, men, they don't. They reject what God has chosen. What God has chosen and what God has blessed, they reject it. Verse number 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So we'll stop there, and we will take verse number 4 for a text verse. Disallowed indeed of men is what we're talking about this morning. So let us pray. Father, we pray again. We come to thy throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray for your help this morning. We pray the Spirit of God would please help us. Not that we deserve anything, God, but we pray, Father, that you will help us this morning to be built up in the faith. We pray that you'll bless your people, and may you take these things and apply them. And I pray the Spirit of God would help me to preach it this morning. We'll thank you, and we'll thank you for it. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about Jesus being disallowed indeed of men. That is, to be disallowed, that is, he's rejected. He is not accepted as the Savior of men. He is disallowed as not being important. They don't think that Jesus Christ is important. He is not allowed his proper place in this world or in the hearts of men. I mean, overall. Last week we had for our text, verse number 2, that we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word. The milk of the Word of God. The Word of God is sincere. To be sincere is to be honest and open and pure. God will tell us the truth. The devil doesn't tell you the truth. But God lays it all out there for us. He does not hide things. He tells us what will happen if we do this or what will happen if we do something else. He tells us what's going to happen out there in the end. The Bible tells us that we should all consider our latter end. In other words, what is going to happen if you do this? What is going to happen if you take this path in your life? How is it going to end up? You see, God tells us that in the Bible. He doesn't hide things from us. Now, the devil, he hides things from us. The devil throws up what you call a facade, a front, and he doesn't show people what's behind it, you see. There's death and destruction and misery behind it, but he doesn't show people that, see. You know, like advertisements on television. He doesn't show people what's behind what he advertises. He doesn't tell them how it's going to end up whenever they drink beer and they drink liquor and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't show them the end result of all those things, you see. He hides it. He only shows you what's out there right now. It looks good. It looks good, but God, he's not like that. Sincere. He is sincere. And he shows us what's going to happen. Hold your place there. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. And we'll look at verse number 6 and 7. Be a good verse for everybody to memorize if you haven't already memorized it. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 7 and 8, and God says this in the Bible. Galatians 6, 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, the very thing that you sow in your life is the very thing that will come back to you. You will reap that very thing in your life. And that's good and that's bad, you see. Good things or bad things, whatever it is. Verse number 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So if we do not want corruption to come up in our life, then we are not to be sowing things that, that bring about bad things in our life. You sow bad seeds in your life, they're going to come up, you see. They're going to come up. And so if we don't want corruptible things to come up in our life, then we must not sow bad things. Bad seeds bring up bad things, and they always come up. But the devil, he lies, but God is sincere. He tells us the truth. That's verse number 2. As newborn babes, we are to desire the sincere milk of the word, so that we may grow. And we talked about that last night. Verse number 3 says, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That is tasted. That is, if you have experienced that, if you've tried it out, you see, if you've tried out Jesus Christ and you know by experience, then Jesus Christ is gracious to us like Noah did. The Bible says about Noah in Genesis chapter number, I believe it's 6 and verse number 9, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so he says that if so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And verse number 4 says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Jesus Christ there is compared to a stone, a living stone, and we Christians are lively stones. It's like there's a foundation, and Jesus Christ is a stone, and he's the first stone in the wall, and we're stones. We're like bricks in a wall there. See, built up. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual house. It's the body of house. It's the household of God. To whom coming as unto a living stone, Jesus compared to a living stone. That living stone, folks, it says here that is disallowed indeed of God. That's this, that people in this world, the major part of them reject the Savior that God has given them. They reject Him. They do not accept Him. They set Him aside as being unimportant. That's what's going on in our world. This one little verse right here, listen carefully. This one little, what I would call an obscure verse, is the reason that our country is falling apart. That's the reason that our country looks like, anyway. There's millions of good people. There's enough Bible-believing people in this world, in this country of ours. I mean, I'm a patriot. I went into the army in 1965, November 1965, nobody made me. I didn't have to. Now, I thought they were coming for me in a little bit. This back when they had the draft, you know. Vietnam was going strong and heavy, and I figured they're going to come after me, so I'm going to join, and so I can get what I wanted. So I joined, and I just wanted to do my part. I was patriotic, see? I wanted to do my little part. So I joined, and I was 67 N20, helicopter mechanic, and I knew where I was going. And that's exactly where I went, you see, after a while. But I wanted to do my little part for my country because I kind of love the country, and I thank God for the privilege to live here, don't you? I mean, I know it's imperfect, and there's a lot of evil and wicked and vile stuff, and it may completely fall apart one of these days. But I don't want it to. And I pray God that God would, if He could. I'm not asking God to bless our country because He can't. I don't sing God bless America because God can't bless America. But He can be merciful to us. He can do that. And that's what I ask Him to do, is to be merciful where He can. There are some Bible-believing people in this country, and thank God for it. There are some good people. There's enough churches this morning that standing up and preaching the truth and singing about God and worshiping God and honoring His Son Jesus Christ and honoring the Holy Bible, that God can be merciful at least for a while. My grandkids live here. My kids live here. I want them to have a good life until Jesus comes. We live in an area over here in eastern New Mexico. It's dry. It's dry, you know, but we're sort of shielded from a lot of things except for what you see on the stupid television. You see that. I mean, we got a half inch of rain, and keep on praying for rain. We need 3 rains like that. I need 3 more rains like that so we can have 2 inches. I need it to wet down about that far is what I need. You know, so y'all keep on praying. Is that some kind of a coincidence? That just about 2-3 weeks ago, we started saying, everybody, let's pray for rain. And my wife and I, we start. And then all of a sudden, we get a rain on Thursday or Friday night, whatever that was. Is that some kind of a coincidence? You know, God, He controls the weather. He can send a drought or He can send rain. The devil, he doesn't do that. If the devil does anything, God has to give him permission. You see, if he wants to mess up your life, then God has to give him permission to do that. That's the way that works. You see. But see, Jesus Christ is disallowed indeed. The word indeed there. That is put there for emphasis. God emphasizes the fact that people disallow His Son. They set Him aside. They say He is not important. You see, He's disallowed indeed. It's a sure thing. He puts that there for emphasis. Disallowed. He's rejected as the Savior of men. And that is why our country is falling apart. That's why people do what they do. You see, He came, and the song says in verse chapter page 26, I believe it is, He emptied Himself of all but love, and He bled for Adam's race. He came and died on the cross for the sins of all mankind, and yet that's not enough. People disallow Him. They reject Him. They don't want Him. They all have another way. They've got different ideas, but it's in the Bible plain and clear. But they set Him aside as the only Savior of mankind. They cannot accept the fact that God chose one man to be the Savior of the world. They think God should have had a Savior in, you know, all kinds of ways. They can't accept I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, He emptied Himself. God sent the pure, perfect Son of God. God Himself became flesh and dwelt among men. But that wasn't what they imagined, see. So He did not fit in the Jewish people, His own people. Rejected Him as their Savior. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 3 says this. Isaiah 53, 3. He is despised and rejected of men. You know what the word despised means? It means to have a low opinion. It means to abhor something, to hate something. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. The Jews of His day rejected Him and they nailed Him to a cross. Whenever He claimed to be Jehovah in John chapter 8 and verse 58, where He said, before Abraham was, I am. He claimed to be Jehovah and they knew that. They picked up stones to stone Him. They're going to kill Him, see. That is His own people. They said these words in John chapter 19 and verse number 15. No, that's a different one. This is Luke 19:14 said, we have no king. We will not have this man to rule over us. Did you know that's why people go to hell? Because they will not have this man to rule over them. They're going to hell. They said, I believe it's John 19:15, we have no king but Caesar. And listen carefully. So therefore God let them have the king that they wanted. And that was Caesar. And you know what He did? He destroyed the city of Jerusalem, burned it to the ground in 70 AD, and killed 1 million Jews. That's the king they wanted. They rejected the king God sent them, you see. And so He burned it to the ground. But God will let people have what they want, what they desire, what they clamor for, God will let them have. If people don't want what God has for them, what God has done for them, then God will give them something else. So see, the Jews of His day, they rejected Him. And today, most of the world, there are 7 billion people on the earth. They're not interested in God's Savior or salvation. And so Jesus Christ is disallowed indeed of men. He is rejected for the most part. There's probably a billion people, possibly, on this earth of all kinds of different shades and stripes that, you know, believe in Jesus Christ in some way or another. Maybe that many that claim to be, but they disallow him as the only way of salvation. Most of the world, they disallow his sacrifice, and they disallow the cross. But here's what the Bible says in John 3:17, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he didn't come to condemn the world when he came the first time. And so most of the world disallows him. But then we go on here just a little bit. It gets even more serious than that. A lot of people say they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't believe anything that he said. Give me a little more volume. They don't believe what Jesus said. They don't believe his words, and so therefore they disallow his words. They disallow the Holy Bible as having any authority on this earth. Did you know that? Well, I'm sure a lot of Christians, they do that too, but we're talking about everybody. They disallow his words. They set the Bible aside as not being important. The Supreme Court did that two, 3 years ago, be 2.5 years now. I wrote that down in a book that I've got at home. 8 o'clock on Friday morning, on whatever date that was, seemed like it was June the 26th, 2015, the Supreme Court set aside the Word of God and said it's not important. And they said same-sex people can now get married. You see, they set aside the Word of God. They disallowed the Word of God. Listen, folks, rejecting the Bible has consequences. Rejecting the Bible has consequences. Let me give you a few illustrations here. I read an illustration this week, or I saw it, some read about it, I think it was. I believe it was in New Jersey. There's a church over there. I won't say what it is, so y'all won't think I'm criticizing some church. I might have to say it here in a little bit. But this particular church, they had a woman pastor. They had a woman pastor. I'm showing you some things here why our culture is falling apart. That a woman pastor started out as a woman, but now she's not a woman anymore, supposedly. She is now pretending that she's a man. You know, that transgender junk. She's now pretending that she's a man. And guess what? They didn't fire her. You know what they're doing? They're celebrating it. They're having a celebration. I forget now what her name was, and now it's something else. Folks, all that is a bunch of pretend stuff. They're going to have a celebration for this woman that was a pastor, and now she's still the pastor, but now she's a man. You see, they're going to celebrate that. They're going to celebrate that. So she's got a man's haircut. She's got man's clothes on, but she's still not a man. She's just pretending to be, you see, pretending to be. Her playing like a bunch of kids. Y'all know how, did y'all do this when you was a little kid? Let's play like this and let's play like that. Let's play like you to mommy and I'm to daddy, and let's play like this is our house here, and I'll put on my little hat and all that kind of, you know, you play like. That's what they're doing. They're pretending. But let me tell you something. The problem didn't start today when they're having their celebration. That's not when the problem started. The problem started way back there when they called a woman to be their pastor and they threw the Bible out the door. That's where the problem started, and it led to what's going on today. Amen?
Amen.
Rejecting the Bible has consequences. Brother, things keep on getting worse. They don't get better when you throw the Bible out the door, and our country's going to get worse. Because they have rejected the words of God. You see, that's not all. There's a bunch of other. I could say a bunch more things about that. But let me ask you something here, folks. We're talking about the Bible. The Bible says about Jesus in our verse there, disallowed indeed of men, rejected, set aside as unimportant. But he's chosen of God. That's the next phrase in that verse. God chose him. And it says he is precious. But the world doesn't think that. They set him aside. We've got our own ideas. We'll do what we want to do. Look, God Almighty is not on the earth walking around telling people what to do. His son, Jesus Christ, is not on the earth again walking around coming into churches telling them what to do. He has given us a book. He has given us his word. That is the authority on the earth today. The Pope is not the authority. The Pope is a when it comes to the Bible, he's a moron. He doesn't know anything. He couldn't preach a biblical sermon if he had to. Really, he couldn't preach himself out of a wet paper sack. Neither could that woman I was telling you about a while ago. See, they don't know how to preach. They don't know anything about the Bible. I'm not even being critical. I'm just telling you the truth. They don't know anything about the Bible. Don't know anything about the Bible. I'm sorry. See, they don't accept the Bible as the Word of God. Rejecting the Bible. These people that are going around shooting everybody nowadays, see. I mean, that is awful. That is the saddest thing. Can you imagine this fellow that killed 19 little kids and some adults here last, what day was it, Wednesday? Can you imagine all the people that affects? 19 or 17 people. If you add up all the people that's going to affect, all the families, I'd say it's maybe 1,000 people. 1,000 people. You know what they're talking about? They're considering the death penalty. Can you imagine? They're considering the death penalty. Well, my goodness, let's don't get too serious about this. I mean, he only killed 17 people. But see, the Bible says, put them to death. But we throw our country throws the Bible out the door. Say, no, we'll put him in prison. We're going to put him in prison. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. But it may be like this. If he pleads guilty, then he can miss the death penalty. He may have already done that. That may be the law in. Can you imagine that? Some guy kills 17 people. They put him in jail. And these people over here, 1,000 people, if that's what it is, 500 to 1,000 people, their lives are upended and all this kind of stuff, and now they're going to have to pay the guy's bill. They're going to have to keep him alive for the next 60 years. He's 19 years old. They're going to have to keep him alive and feed him and give him a place to live, give him a bed, probably going to air condition his room, and maybe have a TV to watch. They're going to have to do that. The people that he has harmed are going to have to take care of the guy now. You see? And he's going to enjoy his life. You know what he's going to do? He's going to sit there for 60 years and he's going to relive this because that's what he wanted. He wants attention. See? I mean, I said, you talk about that. See, I'm telling you, there's consequences for disallowing Jesus Christ and the Bible. Amen. There's consequences for it. You see? And when people don't do, see, take your Bible, hold your place there and turn back over to Numbers. I'll just show you. This is just one place. One place. Numbers. Let's look into Numbers 35. Numbers chapter 35. I'll get you a verse here in just a second. Numbers chapter 35. This is the law now. This is the law of Moses. Numbers chapter 35. Look in verse number 31. Now let's start in verse number 30. Numbers 35 and verse number 30. Whosoever killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death. He's not talking about accidents. He's not talking about, he's talking about premeditated murder. And that's what this was. Whosoever killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death. By the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Verse 31, moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death. But he shall surely be put to death. You see? So you see there, that's just one place in the Bible. There are consequences for rejecting the Word of God. That is why our country is falling apart. Let me ask you something. Back in a couple of months ago, there's some guy, and he was like, how old was that guy in Las Vegas that killed 59 people? What was he, 45, 50 years old? Something like that. Got a machine gun, got up there, and who knows, for no reason, just blasted a bunch of people down there, killed 59 people. And then here this guy yesterday, and then there's been other times where just one or two people got killed. I believe rejecting the Bible and rejecting Jesus Christ brings on insanity in some people.
That's right.
You know that? That's what I believe. I believe there's a lot of insanity in our country because of that. When you grow up watching murders on television, thousands of hours of that kind of stuff, murders and adulteries and all kind of stuff that's promoted on TV, and the same people that put that stuff out, they clamor. You know, they're all, you know, we got to fix this, and then they show more of it on TV.
That's right.
They show it on TV, and they promote it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they say, we got to fix this, you see. And then you got people out in Hollywood, and they make their living shooting up people, see, on the movies. Oh, we got to fix this. Trump, it's all his fault, you see. And they're promoting it. They make millions of dollars off of it over there, you see. People go insane. People go insane when you reject, you set aside God's provision. God has made provision for people to keep a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. I'll just quote it for you. You can listen or look at it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And look what it says. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Let me ask you something. That guy that in Las Vegas that killed 59 people, that moron that killed 19 people here the other day, or 17 people, do you reckon they ever heard a sermon? Reckon they ever heard a sermon on hell? Reckon anybody ever preached to them from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, which says, thou shalt not kill? Reckon they ever heard Jesus Christ say, thou shalt do no murder? Reckon they ever sat at home and had a family meal and bowed their heads and thanked God for it? Or was their case like Romans chapter 3 and verse number 18, which says, there is no fear of God before their eyes? They're not afraid. I don't know anything about it, but I would just surmise. I would just think probably they were taught evolution. Evolution and no God. So therefore they believe that they're not responsible to God. They don't believe that as soon as they close their eyes in death, they're going to go to hell. They want to go down in history as being a great shooter, but in reality, they're going to go to hell. And they're going to burn forever. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 21. Last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 21. And so I want to make sure everybody, all of us here. Revelation 21 in verse number 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, folks, that doesn't mean that somebody kills somebody cannot be saved, but these people here are unrepentant sinners. And these fellows here that did this, you see, I just wonder, did they ever come to church and hear a preacher preach? You see, did that ever happen? Did they ever hear about hell? Did they ever hear the gospel? I would say more than likely, probably not. This guy, this last one here, they said that he had this habit. He liked to torture animals and things like that. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I went around with a .22 rifle, and nobody told me anything. You know, I started to bring it today, but I forgot it. I still have it. My dad's Remington .22 rifle is made in 1935, a bolt action. And, we, me and a friend or two, we'd just get our guns and we'd just go off. And, you know, we never thought about going around and shooting people. But see, without the Bible and without the Bible preaching, without a preacher getting up and preaching, and people don't bring their children to church, you think, well, it's just not important. Let me tell you something. Don't disallow the church, too.
Don't set it aside. Amen. Because if you get preaching, it's going to do some good. Right. Of some kind. You see. Without these things, without the Bible, without singing, hymns, gospel hymns, without preaching, without fellowship among Christians, there is no restraint against evil in the lives of people. It acts as a restraint against evil. And when that's not in people's lives, it can be a problem. I had restraint in my house. We didn't read the Bible, but there was still restraint there. You know what it was? It was my daddy. He whooped me. That was my restraint against evil. See, I knew if I did some certain things that I was going to get a whooping. You see, we don't know more than what, you see, that's for the most part been thrown out the window too. You can't, not supposed to do that anymore. Everybody thinks they know more than God knows. See, but see, all of these things, they act as restraints against evil in our life. You know what the Bible says? You want to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17? Jeremiah chapter 17. I'll quit here in a little bit. Jeremiah chapter number 17 and verse number 9. Here's what Jeremiah said. He said in Jeremiah 17 verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." See, the heart is deceitful. And we talked about the heart in Sunday school this morning. If we can keep our heart right, then other things will work out right, see. So we see the world, number one, the Jewish people set Jesus Christ aside. They rejected him. The world out there, most of them reject Jesus Christ. Not only that, they have disallowed his words, and there are consequences to it. I'm going to give you a couple of more things here, and then I'll quit. I read another illustration this week. I'm going to give you a fourth point here. Jesus Christ is not only disallowed as Savior, but he's disallowed as the Creator. I've got it here somewhere. Read an illustration. Anybody in here ever been to Iceland? Anybody ever been to Iceland? That's a country. Iceland, that's a country. Country of about 350,000. They have a state church over there, and the state church is the Lutheran church. And I'm thinking about switching. I'm going to be a Lutheran. I'm going to try that out. I'm just kidding. But I'll tell you why. Over there in Iceland, that state church is the Lutherans. And they took a survey of all the high school students in Iceland. I don't know how many that would be, but all of them. And they asked them how many of them accepted the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, and all that. How many high school students in Iceland accept that God Almighty created everything? You know how many of them, you know what percentage of them accepted the creation story? Not one. Not one student in the entire country. Churches set aside, they disallow the Word of God. That's the Lutheran church over there, see. But here's the thing about this. The Lutheran church over in Iceland, they build the buildings. They build the church buildings that people don't have to. And they pay the preacher. I mean, the government pays the preacher. See, so I'm thinking about retiring over here. I'm going to go to Iceland. I'm going to take me a stack of sermons. I probably just have to get up once a week, you know. I wouldn't have to pray or study or nothing or get myself all stirred up. I just go up there and get me a piece of paper and read an outline. And they'll all sleep out there, you know. I just have to stand. I have to do it once a week, and I get a paycheck. See, I'm thinking about retiring over in Iceland, see. Not really. I couldn't stand it, and they couldn't stand it. That wouldn't be good. But see, they disallow the Word of God. They disallow Jesus Christ as the Creator, Him as God. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. (Clears
Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W. "And the Word was with God," capital W. "And the Word was God," capital W. "The same was in the beginning with God." Verse number 3 is what I wanted you to notice. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." See? So Jesus Christ is there, the Word of God. And He made all things. He is the Creator. So God Almighty, the Creator, became flesh, became a man, and came down to the earth, you see. But they disallow Him as the Creator. They disallow His incarnation, that He became flesh. They set it aside. There are consequences for disallowing what God has given to mankind. That's why our country is falling apart, because they have thrown the Bible out as any kind of standard of righteousness or of any way of living or of having any authority. They've thrown it out. There has to be a group of people, churches like this, who stand for the Bible and continue to preach the Bible no matter how bad it gets out there. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "God was manifest in the flesh." Many of them disallow His resurrection, but we'll stop there. And let's bow our heads, please. Father, we